we remind ourselves, God knows us, He loves us, and expresses through us. Today, we are going to expand our understanding of a familiar story. And we're going to see how it relates to us. Jesus feeding the 5,000. We notice that Jesus didn't make food appear out of thin air, like a magic trick of illusion. He had spent the day with the multitudes. They heard where he was, and they came for healing. When evening came, the disciples said, "Look, it's time to let these people go find food. they've been here all day, it's hot." And Jesus said, "No need to leave. Feed them." And we know from the story, it's in your program, Jesus took 5 loaves, 2 fish, blessed it, and it was God that multiplied it lavishly, abundantly, not just enough, but more than plenty for the hungriest eater. In the very beginning of this story, in your program, you'll see that there was another element involved. In verse 14 in Matthew, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them." You're going to see that compassion plays a role 2,000 years later, today. In a small community in Turkey, the men are shepherds, and in the summer, they take the sheep up to a nearby mountain, and they make yogurt from the milk. The community takes care of everybody. If wolves come and take your sheep, each member of the community brings you a sheep, and you have your flock again. One young shepherd became an activist and unpopular with the authorities. He decided it was better for him to leave Turkey, and he planned to go to Europe, to a country in Europe. Friends suggested, "Oh, go to America." And in 1994, he arrived in New York with $3,000. And he found a job in Utica. And there happened to be a Kraft dairy plant closing. And several hundred workers were losing their jobs. This man was inspired to to purchase the plant and make yogurt. And he convinced a local banker he could do it. In the spirit of the community where he grew up, he hired workers and increased their pay so they could afford to raise a family, safe place to live, get an education, have health insurance, save for retirement, take a vacation. He hired recent refugees. And you know what? Now he is a billionaire. The yogurt is Chobani, which means shepherd. Now, what is the connection between these two stories? The same God, active 2,000 years ago, is the same, is just as active today. One God, no matter what nationality, religion, profession. Jesus, out of compassion, took the 5 loaves and 2 fish, and God took over and expressed his nature of unlimited abundance, revealing a solution impossible for man, possible for God. A Turkish shepherd coming to America was exposed to an expanded viewpoint of possibilities. His 5 loaves and 2 fish were his family's generations of expertise in yogurt making and the attitude of compassion he grew up with in this village. God took this man's skills and consciousness and magnified them, no limits. Now you may be thinking, well, both men had something God could take and multiply. And I don't have anything for God to start expanding. Now, here is the heart of today's lesson. You have attitude, which colors and forms our thinking, and the two, attitude, mood, thinking, that's three, attitude and thinking become consciousness. And we know from Dr. Seale and Emmett Fox, consciousness forms all that we meet in the outer world. Consciousness is the key that unlocks our health, our experiences, our relationships, our conditions. And consciousness starts with established attitudes. This is our loaves and fish, our yogurt expertise resting in compassion. Our attitude is so close to us, we don't even notice what we're feeding it. If our outer circumstances are not up to what we want, it is our attitude and thinking, our consciousness, at work. This pattern of accepting at face value what comes to us, unaware that we are constantly sending out this energy, this signal, for this pattern to repeat. We call it in divine science the law of attraction or the law of expression. First within, then without. Thinking cannot be permanently changed while keeping our old attitude. Things are different now from when Jesus walked around. Attitudes then were formed from fewer influences. In Scripture, it's very apparent the attitudes of the religious leaders who could not accept that their longed-for Messiah was right in front of them because they thought that the Son of God would come like King David or like Moses, Joseph, they simply could not believe that God's Son would come to earth as a humble, itinerant preacher. Yes, he healed. Yes, he read from the scripture with authority. But God would make him a king. We too have these embedded attitudes. We nurture opinions and beliefs about our family members, our friends, our local, state, national government leaders. What is our attitude that's common to all these people and conditions? Maybe we want things to change. Scripture says, resist not evil. I like to say, resist not error. Someone asked Jesus, what are the most important commandments? And Jesus replied immediately, love God with everything you've got and love your fellow man unconditionally. These are two attitudes God can multiply. And love heals. It heals the person who's sending out love. It heals the recipient. Awareness of God's presence in a condition brings solutions, peace of mind. It's different from what the peace of mind that the world gives us. And Jesus said that. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives. Love and peace come from within. They form our consciousness when we turn from all the distractions and make room inside ourselves for the truth, not facts. Unconditional love is an attitude. Criticism of others, wishing they could be different, be better, when that fills our attention, it takes up a lot of space in our thinking. When we drop it and go higher to a place where there are no limits, to a place of pure light, then we are flooded inside with what God is. And we look around and there's this amazing solution we never would have thought about. And it happened without our effort. This is our new beginning. Because from a harmonious attitude follows thinking based on truth. Our understanding opens and we see the bigger picture. Dr. Salazar told of one of his cousins, I have probably told you this, who was in a coma for weeks. And he was in ICU in a Texas hospital. And only his immediate family could go in for a short period. And they were just waiting for this man to die. He was on machines. And they asked family members to come and say goodbye. And each person had a few minutes. And Dr. Salazar went in to see his cousin. They were about the same age. And he just talked. He said, you remember when we used to go swimming in that creek near the farm and so forth? And he spent his time just talking about good times. And the man's wife would call him and say, you know, after you leave, there's something different about my husband. He seems better. Well, there was a time when the family was called. They were going to be there and unplug everything. And so one of the sons, the oldest boy, unplugged the breathing machine. His father was still breathing. To make a long story short, the man totally recovered, took his family to Paris to celebrate some anniversary with his wife, and he regained his whole being. He had no repercussions from this time spent, no negative repercussions from this time spent in a coma. What happened? We don't know. It was just the attitude and the thinking of one man who, instead of reinforcing the appearance, rose above it, went to this, what we say every Sunday, God is all, invisible, visible, all. And then what happens, happens. In summary, we know intellectually that our situation cannot change until we change our mind. And we understand and agree that changing our mind starts with changing our attitude, expanding it beyond what we see, beyond what the world is telling us. And when this attitude changes, it's possible to make room for new thinking, which means a new consciousness. And at some point, new conditions and relationships. There's one other consideration, and that is, in our adult life, we have maybe never had sustained feelings of peace, of confidence that we can meet successfully anything that comes to us. What does it feel like to be in the presence of God? Nona Brooks, a co-founder of Divine Science, says love is outstreaming goodwill. What does outstreaming goodwill feel like? The only way to live in this world of God awareness is to practice the highest that we know. This is our love loaves and fish. This is our yogurt expertise. It is this inner awareness that God expands. What a wonderful life for each of us unfolds according to God's plan. Let us pray. Loving presence, all good, everywhere, we ask your help to lift our awareness above the incomplete appearances into a sustained attitude that you are there and all is well now. We choose to practice your presence. Thank you, God. So it is. Amen.